Good evening, Fresh Fruit listeners. This is your host, one of your hosts for this evening, I should be more accurate, Peter Gokey. You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFEI, 90.3 FM Minneapolis, and 106.7 FM St. Paul, Radio Without Boundaries. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFEI, 90.3 FM Minneapolis, and operating translator, K294 AM West St. Paul, at 106.7 FM in St. Paul. Support for this program comes from KFAI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So this is Fresh Fruit. We are the longest running queer radio program in the country, and we are very proud of that for generations now. I suppose it would be two generations. We've been consistently bringing you the best of the queer Twin Cities, and everything from arts and politics to music. And so tonight I have two of my co-hosts with me, Keith Peterson. Keith, thanks for coming on in tonight.
Thank you, Peter.
And we have Andy Berkey, who has been around a couple times, and he's back in for an evening. Thanks for coming in, Andy.
I'm glad to be here.
And we've got a host of great guests tonight. I have one announcement that I would like to make, and then I am turning over most of the show to Keith and Andy tonight, but I'll be popping in from time to time. The announcement I'd like to make is regarding the BECAUSE Conference, and BECAUSE is an acronym that stands for Bisexual Empowerment Conference, a uniting, supportive experience. It's dedicated to building an empowered bisexual, pansexual, fluid, queer, unlabeled, and allied community. And they'll have a couple of keynote speakers and a musical performance. This is June 6th through the 8th at the U of M East Bank, the STSS building. It's at Shiny Middle One across from the Wiseman. And it's free for U of M students and modestly priced for community members and students at other areas. You can check out BOP, the Bisexual Organizing Project, to get more information. Or you can go to www.becauseconference.org for more information on that. And I think Andy or Keith, you guys have some announcements, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, I want to say that we just heard Dolly Parton with Potential New Boyfriend. A couple weeks ago, Dolly came out pretty strongly for marriage equality. She said, I think everyone should be with who they love. I think gay couples should be allowed to marry. They should suffer just like heterosexuals.
Yeah, I love that part of it.
So I'll turn it over to Keith. I know he has a few announcements about some great community events coming up.
I do. One of the things that I want to bring attention to is the fact that Rainbow Health Initiative is going to obviously be at the park for Pride this year again. And one of the things that they're looking for are ambassadors to help them distribute a survey. And if you're interested in information about that, it is they are going to reimburse people for their time. They're looking for about 20 people to just canvass the park, get the surveys completed, and it will be four-hour shifts that they're looking for in terms of a commitment. And we will provide a link for that. And we also will have information up on the column about how to contact them and get enrolled as one of their canvassers. Then the other thing that I wanted to bring attention to is the fact that Soap Factory is involved in a kind of experimental new phase. The Soap Factory is over in St. Anthony, Maine, and they are working with Theater Coup d'Etat to stage a performance, an actual play, in the basement. The play that's running right now is One Flea Spare. It's a 17th century English play about the plague, but it's also got a really strong homosexual agenda, and I highly recommend going to see that performance. And they will be there. I believe that their performances are Thursday through Sunday for the next 2 weekends. And again, we'll provide information and links for that. And I think that's what I've got for right now.
I think there's one more Rainbow Health announcement. Friday the 27th.
Auntie Marge is going to be at the 7th Annual Fruit Bowl over at Memory Lanes on Friday, June 28th, and it is free. It is substance-free. It's family-friendly, and we'll have information about that also up on both the column and Fresh Fruit websites.
I've been at that event for the past couple of years, and it's a blast. It's a lot of fun for everybody.
It is.
Well, thanks, Keith, for those event updates. So we're excited to have Joshua Newville in studio tonight from Medea Law to talk about some pretty exciting news coming out of South Dakota. Why don't you tell us what's going on?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think I'm a little late to the game at this point, considering we are number 30 out of 30 states that have now filed to challenge the constitutionality, or I should say unconstitutionality, of marriage bans in the state of South Dakota. So there's been a lot of filings on this. There's the only state left that has not challenged it is North Dakota.
Great. That's very exciting news. And one of the ways that this lawsuit kind of got rolling was a visit to Minneapolis, right?
Yeah. So the couple was unsure. They wanted to marry in Minneapolis, the lead couple in this case. There's six couples. They wanted to marry in Minneapolis, and they weren't quite sure how to do it, but they knew they wanted to challenge the ban. And so they went after, they talked to their daughters about it, they talked to their family, and everybody was on board. And eventually they got married by Mayor Hodges here.
That's really cool. And I was reading through the brief that was submitted today, so congratulations on that.
Yeah, this is breaking. This is really cool.
Yeah, I filed about an hour and a half ago. So,
congratulations, that's amazing.
Yeah,
you couldn't get anything fresher off the press.
Yeah,
on fresh fruit.
I was reading through that filing that you guys did, and I noticed that about half the couples had actually come to Minnesota to get married over the past, you know, year and a half or so, a year, I should say. And so, I think it's fair to say that Minnesota's enactment of marriage equality is having a ripple effect across the plains.
It is, and one of the things that is interesting, if you really dig into it, it's a long complaint, but if you dig into it, you'll find a couple statements made by some people in the South Dakota government, and one of those comments was, go back to Minnesota, for a couple that had gotten married here, and they went and tried to get their driver's license changed to reflect their new names, and the licensing person said flat out in an unbelievably harsh tone, you know, we don't do that here, go back to Minnesota.
Wow.
Actually, I think they said move back to Minnesota, or something along those lines.
You know what, we'll take them.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm really glad to see them, you know, stepping up and you know, getting, because up till today, South Dakota was one of only two states. And yesterday we saw Montana filed. There were only three. It was Montana, North Dakota, and South Dakota that hadn't challenged bans on marriage equality. And, you know, we're up to 19 states that have marriage equality, with Oregon and Pennsylvania also coming
right
in.
It's four new ones this week that have had their rulings. I mean, four states had their laws struck down this week, and what is it, like 73, 74 lawsuits that are in effect right now waiting for decisions?
Yeah,
it's quite a few.
Yeah. So for this case, it's in the Eighth Circuit, and that's kind of unique for this lawsuit, right?
Yeah, well, so the it's not at the Eighth Circuit level yet, but we're housed within the Eighth Circuit. So sure. I filed in federal district court in South Dakota, and the inevitable, unless it gets resolved by another case, and this case gets mooted out, and it's just not an issue anymore, which is possible. The inevitable likelihood is that this will be in front of the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. And that's really unique, as you point out, because right now the Eighth Circuit, which is a big circuit, only has one other case that's in federal court at the district court level, and that's Arkansas. And likely that will be withdrawn by the attorney that brought that, because it looks like they're going to win in Arkansas. The state court there came down in favor of gay marriage against these bans, and provided that the Supreme Court does what everyone thinks they're going to do, which is affirm that, it would be probably unnecessarily duplicative to keep that federal case going. And then that means that the South Dakota case could end up being the one to go to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Which is also, I think I was mentioning this to you, a big deal, because the Eighth Circuit's the only circuit that has upheld one of these bans. In 2006, someone challenged the Nebraska ban, and the Eighth Circuit, during oral arguments, actually compared marrying same-sex couples to an individual marrying their dog.
Wow.
And you can imagine the opinion, although it didn't contain that kind of language, was still pretty brutal for us. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when we get to the Eighth Circuit, if we do, and to see whether they continue down that line or whether they are going to switch courses.
Has there been any judge turnover since then, or were you looking at the same panel of people?
That's a good question. I haven't looked into that yet. Now I'm so focused on the district court level that I haven't really thought about
one battle at a time. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Definitely. I was looking at kind of the history of the ban in South Dakota, and I had assumed that, it was in 2006, I believe, that they passed their marriage amendment onto the ballot, but it only passed with 52% of the vote.
51.83. It's about 12,000 votes, because there's about 850,000 people in South Dakota, and I think a couple hundred thousand voted on that.
Wow, that is a slim margin for a state that a lot of people had written off in the marriage equality battle. We think of the Red Plains, you don't see marriage equality. You see it on the coast. The entire Northeast has now got marriage equality. The entire West Coast now has marriage equality. And we've got a good chunk of the Midwest wrapped up with Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa. But do you have any sense of the climate in South Dakota for this?
I'm starting to, I get the opportunity to head out there now that I've filed and meet more people. But I've already talked to so many people across the state, and they've just been fantastic. But it's funny, I get conflicting messages. Sometimes people tell me that the western half of the state is so unbelievably conservative that, why I shouldn't file over there and I shouldn't, expect a whole lot of help over there. But the funny thing is the very first two couples, including the lead couple, Nancy and Jenny, which are 68 and 72 years old, respectively, they're from Rapid City. They're from the western part of the state. And so there's a real movement, even in that deep red, very conservative half of the state. And then in Sioux Falls, which I'm told is much more friendly, it's still generally conservative, I think, compared to the Twin Cities. But, there's a lot of people throughout the state that really want to see marriage equality happen.
Definitely. there's been quite a bit of pushback from some of the legislators there. I just read today, there's a guy, I think his name is Representative Steve Hickey, and he is now doing a prayer-a-thon Friday against this lawsuit.
That's new. That's actually news. I did not know that.
It just came out right before we got on air.
The downside of the radio is you can't see hosts roll their eyes.
And the things he's said, I think, we're at a point in society where the kind of things you say against LGBT people actually start to turn the tide against your position. He had made some really kind of outrageous comments last month when this lawsuit first started to build some steam. And I can't help but think that I think a lot of our listening audience probably comes from the Dakotas. A lot of people relocate from there to Minneapolis, might have friends or family. You might want to ask them, does that kind of stuff really make you, support that position? Because, I just think the tide's turning, and the louder these opponents keep squawking, I think it just helps the cause even more. So
I almost, I was tempted to quote Representative Hickey's pretty abhorrent comments in the complaint just to, drive home the point of how that kind of culture can really be harmful, but I realized it was not worth repeating.
So. Definitely.
I almost get the sense that representatives or politicians that are flailing about and church groups that are flailing about, it's like that child that you have at Target and you say no. And they decide that they're going to get down on the floor and they're going to pound their fists and stomp their feet. And eventually you're just going to say, okay, we're not at Target anymore. We're going to take you out. And that's kind of what's happening. It's like they don't know what to do because they're the minority.
Yeah. You know, there are conservative attorney generals that are deciding not to defend these bans. And unfortunately, you know, the sense that I'm getting, or not the sense, but I think he's just said directly from the attorney general in South Dakota, is that he's going to defend it, you know, put a full-throated defense into it and spend lots of time and energy, South Dakota money on it. And that's just too bad, because you're right. There are people that are realizing, they're seeing the writing on the wall and are coming around to a, you know, more logical position. But then there are people who they're going to put their head in the sand.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even Maggie Gallagher of NAM, or was NAM, or she with the Catholic Conference?
She was with NAM.
Yeah.
National Organization for
Marriage. She's given up. She said, we've lost. I'm done. I'm hanging up my hat. There's got to be something else. I mean, if she gives up, Lord.
My suggestion is, why doesn't she go to Netflix and watch Scandal? I mean, that's a good alternative if you're going to, right?
Well, I don't know. Maybe Orange is the New Black for her. Give her a dose of Laverne Cox.
So, Josh, why don't you tell us a little bit about Medea Law, what you guys do, where you're based?
Sure. So we're a small firm. I mean, there are two lawyers. It's me and my boss. The name Ashwin Medea, if anyone remembers that. It's been a while now, but he ran for Congress in 2008 in the 3rd District against Eric Paulson. Did not come out ahead on that one, and which is good news for me, because then he left the firm. He had been at a larger firm in town, left that and started his own shop. And we do employment and civil rights litigation. I've now been there for 4 years, graduated 2 years ago, so I've been actually practicing for two. And primarily, yeah, we're dealing with individuals who have been discriminated against in all sorts of ways. Sexual orientation, a disability, the whole nine yards.
Hmm. Excellent.
That's great. I remember when Ashwin ran for Congress, yeah, was one of the early and really vocal opponents of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, pushing for its repeal. So, and that always kind of resonated with me when he was running.
As an attorney in the Marines, Ashwin was one of the very first to successfully defend a prosecution of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah. It's pretty fascinating.
Well, we need to take a quick break for a PSA, and then we've got a song coming up, Andy. Is there a little backstory behind the song that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah. So, Dar Williams was in town recently.
At the Plan Mine. At the Dakota.
At the Dakota. Yes. Dar Williams has always been one of my favorites. I first met her at one of the Alphabet Soup GLBT college conferences. It was held in Lansing, Michigan. And she performed there, and it was great to see her. So you're going to hear Dar Williams, Are You Out There?
And here it is.
Grungy fans, you never know who's still alive. The City of St. Paul is accepting applications for firefighter EMT from May 1st through May 28th. If you are interested in a rewarding career with excellent pay and benefits and an opportunity to serve your community, you are encouraged to apply.
More information is available at stpaul.gov/firefighter. The City of St. Paul is an equal opportunity affirmative action employer.
And we're back. That was some Dar Williams that we heard. You're listening to Fresh Fruit. I am Peter Gokey, hosts Keith Peterson. Keith,
hello, everyone.
And Andy Berkey.
Hello.
And we are talking with the lovely Josh from Medea and Associates about great progress with marriage equality.
Yeah, we just talked about the lawsuit was just filed today in South Dakota. It has a lot of deep Minnesota roots, and that's pretty awesome. And we were talking in the break a little bit about another bit of marriage equality news. Project 515, one of the staples of the marriage equality fight in Minnesota, is actually announced that they will be closing up shop on June 30th with a mission accomplished. They're not going away because they're out of money. They're not going out of way because nobody wants them to do what they do anymore. It's just they had a mission and they accomplished, which is pretty rare for a nonprofit.
Oh, it's so rare. And it's to be commended just universally because what a great precedent to set that it's okay to be in business for a short while, accomplish what you wanted to accomplish, and then move on.
Yeah. I actually had the opportunity to attend the celebration they had a couple weeks ago at the Minnesota History Center. And they had some great paraphernalia from all their campaigns and some artwork and kind of honoring the people that had done a lot of the work in the organization. But the History Center actually put out a great LGBT exhibit to coincide with it with some really unique stuff about the marriage equality fight. If people have a chance to get down there and see it, it's really a great, great thing. But Project 515 had a big impact on the marriage equality fight in Minnesota,
and it wasn't just in Minnesota. That impact, I was writing the final touches to the South Dakota complaint, I couldn't help but think about Project 515 because they went through and identified all of the 515 things that were in Minnesota law that you were discriminated against by not having access to marriage as same sex couples. The cool part is that set the tone for, or set the script, I guess, for so many of these lawsuits. All these people who were filing in other states actually took Project 515's template or their platform and went through and figured out, okay, so where in our statutes are these things being discriminated, you know, and how can we use that to help us? And it really helped a lot of people.
That's really fascinating. I had no idea that they'd had that big of an impact. I mean, I know they had here, but to hear that that's been something that advocates can use across the country is really, really heartening. One of the things that always stuck with me about Project 515 and the 515 statutes was the hunting and fishing licenses. In Minnesota, same-sex couples were not allowed to have a family fishing and hunting license, whereas married couples could. So before marriage equality, same-sex couples had to pay extra to get their fishing and hunting licenses. And in Minnesota, that's, you know, I can't help but think that there are a lot of sportsmen out there that hadn't really given a lot of thought to this issue, but every year bought their licenses and, you know, for them, their spouse, their kids, and didn't realize that same-sex couples were discriminated, even in that.
No.
So.
It's incredible. I mean, everything from trying to get an autopsy to, you know, just unbelievable things that you don't even think about that are affected by this.
Yeah. So, Josh, what are the next steps for the South Dakota suit? What has to happen in order for that ball to get rolling?
Well, it depends on what the Attorney General does. That will really decide the trajectory of this case. If he files a motion to dismiss, that could speed things up, especially if it's a full motion to dismiss. If he just answers and then puts us through discovery, it could really delay and you know, take a while. It all depends on how he decides he wants to defend the suit.
That makes sense. Yeah,
I expect to hear in about a month his answer.
About a month for that
timeline. A little under, hopefully. But yeah.
You'll have to keep us posted.
Definitely. I think there's going to be a lot of folks in South Dakota that will just be even celebrating this step for their prides this year because, you know, we look at that part of the country. You know, even the South had complete marriage lawsuit coverage before. You know, the Northern Plains. So.
One of the issues that I'm running into, and I ran into in South Dakota, I have six named couples, but I had a lot more people contact me. And in having those conversations, and I'm doing the same thing now with North Dakota, I'm having these conversations, I'm explaining, look, you have no protection under the law here. There is nothing to say that if an employer straight up says, oh, you're gay, you're part of this suit, you're gone. They can fire you, and you can't sue in South Dakota or North Dakota because there's no protection like there is here under the Minnesota Human Rights Act.
Yeah, yeah,
that's a really good point. Talk a little bit about the couple that filed, or even a couple of them.
Well, they're incredible. Nancy and Jenny are the first couple that came to me. They're 68 and 72 years old. They've been together for almost 30 years. They are adorable. Jenny never talks. She's the quiet introvert, and told Nancy that when Nancy asked her if she'd do this suit, she said, yep, as long as I don't have to talk. And that's pretty much what it's been like ever since. They're just amazing. They've got grandchildren and family here in the cities, and they like to come over. And yeah, I mean, you can totally tell Nancy is from Wisconsin originally. She's got those long O's just like I do. They're great. And then other couples, I mean, they're all over the board. There's one, if you look at the complaint, I actually cited to YouTube in the complaint, which, wow, I think is kind of fun. One couple, Jeremy Caller and Clay Schweitzer, they're in Rapid City as well, and they got together about 3 or 4 years ago. I can't remember how long ago it was, but they eventually proposed, and Clay proposed with this beautiful, amazing cover of I can't remember the name of the song now. But anyways, this amazing song, and his family surprised Jeremy in the Black Hills, and it's just an amazing video. And I put it in the complaints.
Yeah, I saw that YouTube. That was great.
And that's really amazing.
And there's other. I mean, these four other couples are just tremendous. One of them today actually was the day. They're the only unmarried couple. They're a younger lesbian couple. They had their first baby 3.5 weeks ago. And this baby only has one mom's name on the birth certificate because they wouldn't let her put the other one. And they went to try to get married today. And today they walked into the Brown County Register of Deeds and we're told that, nope, we don't do that here in South Dakota, and we're turned away. And so that was the last thing that I needed before the suit was filed.
That's amazing. Amazing story. Well, I wish you the best of luck on all that. And, you know, thanks so much for being here on one of the busiest days of your life, I'm sure, filing a lawsuit for marriage equality in South Dakota. It's Josh Neuville from Medea Law.
Thanks. And real quickly before I leave, I just want to say, Andy, you've been in the background covering so many of these issues for so long. And I just want to say that thank you very much for bringing light to a lot of the things that don't always get the coverage that need to be covered. I mean, this has obviously picked up a lot of press, but there are a lot of other issues that you've put, you know, attention to and brought to light. And so thank you for that.
Here's here. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll...